following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
And we're going to open God's Word together and Lizzie is going to come and read that for us.
So the reading comes from Mark chapter 14 and it's verses 1 to 11 and you can find it on page 1019 in the Bibles. Jesus anointed at Bethany. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him, but not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over.
Lizzie, thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. I don't know about you, I absolutely love this time of year. Don't you love this time of year? I walked here and the sun was shining. And it wasn't dark or raining. There's blossom on the trees. You think, we're going to have an amazing summer. We've not yet had the summer spoiled. You think, this is going to be incredible. It's going to be barbecue weather every time. The cricket season has just started. And I noticed this year that my gas and electricity bills have plummeted, you know, at this time of year from sort of £189 a month to sort of £176 a month. And you just think, that is, what am I going to do with all my money now? Every point at this time of year, I love this moment. And I especially, I think, love this week. In Christianity, this is called Holy Week. And during Holy Week, we basically have a chance to kind of almost live in real time the events of Easter that happened 2,000 years ago. We gather on the Thursday, remember the nights before Jesus went to the cross. On Good Friday, we remember Jesus' death on behalf of humanity. And then we gather again on Easter Sunday with the good news that his body is no longer in the tomb. And of course, as a church, we kind of remember those things every week. But there's something particularly special at this time of year, gathering and having a refresher. And one of the stories about this time of year is the one that we have just read. And we know it's coming to the Passover because it says it in verses 1 and 2. Look down with me. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. And then the camera zooms out of that and zooms into a house a couple of kilometres away in a place called Bethany. And while Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came in with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. He sat around with his friends, reclining. That was the kind of Middle Eastern way of eating. It's very intimate. You're sharing a meal with people. And then in walks this woman. And as she approaches Jesus, it goes silent. Everyone's watching what she's going to do. And she takes a jar, a very pretty jar. Alabaster is kind of cream coloured. You'll have dark spots in it. It's a very beautiful family ornament. And she takes it and she smashes it. And this aroma just fills the room. And she pours all of the perfume over his head. It's messy. He drips down onto his clothes, onto the place where he's been reclining. It floods the room with smell. It floods him with this kind of oil. Now, Mark is like tripping over himself to tell us that this is really expensive. It's an alabaster jar. It's very expensive perfume. And it's made of pure nard. Where's nard? Well, it's probably a plant from a plant called spikenard, which you can get apparently at the foothills of the Himalayas in India. So it's been imported all the way across to the ancient Near East. It is seriously expensive. This is a luxury item. It's very, very expensive. And for her, you wonder, how did she get it? Is it a family kind of heirloom that she's got? And she's just taken it and she's smashed it and poured it on Jesus. Or has she worked? It's unlikely. Women don't often work kind of in that particular Near Eastern 2,000 year ago culture. But if so, she's earned this over a long period of time. But in a moment, she takes it and she smashes it and she pours it all over Jesus' head. The toothpaste is out of the tube, so to speak. There's no way of getting this back, but she doesn't want to. The whole thing is like devoted to Jesus. For her, here's the thing. There is nothing more valuable than Jesus. In that room, in that moment, there is nothing more valuable to her than Jesus. The thing is, you're in this scene and you're having your dinner. And this is a bit awkward, isn't it? I mean, she's just walked in. She's done this. And what do the people make of it? Some of those present, verse 4, were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. Look, there's a way of, you didn't have to smash the jar. Look, it smells good even with a little bit. You don't need to pour the whole thing on his head. Just do a bit. This is a year's wages. You know, this is the equivalent of, what, £30,000. And in a couple of seconds, you've just thrown it all away. Why are you doing this? "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me." I think it's shocking for two reasons. Although Jesus isn't kind of downplaying or dismissing the responsibility, the social responsibility to care for the poor and broken in our society, which you see all the way through the Old Testament all the time, he is kind of saying that there is something even more valuable than caring for the poor. And that's being devoted to Jesus. That's kind of shocking. I guess the second thing he's saying is that she's done a beautiful thing because she's prepared me for burial. There he is eating with his friends, and he's saying, in a couple of days' time, I will be a dead man. In fact, if it was on Thursday, it was probably on the Wednesday, this event. It's a couple of days before Passover, it says. 2 days' time, I'll be dead. And she's preparing me for this. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. He's sort of saying exactly what she is saying, that there is nothing in this world more valuable than Jesus. There's nothing. Now, why is that? You know, what does Jesus do? Well, two things that this weekend make brilliantly clear. And the first one is this: only Jesus forgives us of our sin. Only Jesus forgives us of our sin. The Bible tells us that humanity, we are broken. That we have a really, really big problem. And that problem is the wrongdoing we do to one another on this planet, but also the way that we have snubbed our Creator. We have treated him like he's an irrelevance. We have treated him like he doesn't exist. We have treated him often like we know best. It's not so much that we're kind of as evil towards him all the time as we could be, but more that we're just not that bothered about him. And we worship other gods or no gods. And we don't give him the honor he is due. And this sin is terrible. And it reeks. And the thing is, God hates it. And the Bible says he doesn't just kind of lightly pass over sin. He doesn't brush it under the carpet. He can't. It must be dealt with for the way that it's ruining and spoiling this world. But Jesus, though he could condemn, in Jesus, God comes to this earth and says, "I'm not going to hold it against you. I forgive you." And the Bible says that what Jesus did is he says, look, I'm not going to put that on you. I'll take it on myself. And then he'll go to the cross and he'll die. And all of God's anger and wrath for all of the sins of the world are poured on his son, on Jesus. God in himself substituted himself for us and died. Only in Jesus are we given forgiveness. I was thinking about that quite a lot. I mean, that is a beautiful thing for a couple of reasons. One, there are not many people out there who are willing to forgive. You know, just the amount of times you hear the words unforgivable kind of thrown around. People just not really willing to forgive others. Much rather you kind of have the consequences of what you've done. If that's what you're going to be like, you're toxic. I'm cutting you out. But also, not a lot of people are able to forgive on this scale. Jesus is both fully able and fully willing to deal with our biggest problem. Only Jesus forgives us of our sin. Secondly, only Jesus gives us eternal life. See, as a result of our sin, our bodies are dying. And one day it will be the end. And if it wasn't for Jesus, that would literally be the end. But Jesus went before us. And on that Easter weekend, a long, long time ago, you had the tragedy of Good Friday. And then Easter Sunday, he got up and he walked out of the tomb. The reason we get excited about that is because nobody else has done that. Nobody else can do that. And what's more, he is alive forever and able to bestow life on anyone who comes to him. When we die, the Bible says, he takes us by the hand and he brings us to be with him. And he will give us life forever. Only Jesus is able to do that. And only Jesus is willing to do that. There is nothing more precious than Jesus. Which is why it's a bit of a tragedy that we kind of live in a world that doesn't really value Jesus. Like, yeah, he's interesting. Yeah, he's a historical figure. We're obviously not giving up our Sundays for him. I'm not going to be inconvenienced by the truths of religion. I'm not going to change what I do. And there are lots and lots of people who won't be coming to church this weekend because, you know, he's all right. He's maybe worth a few coins. He's not worth all of this. He's not this valuable. And I think that's the point that the Bible is making in this chapter. So in this chapter, Mark 14, you basically have this long, long litany after this story of people who have let Jesus down. Peter denies him. Judas betrays him. The disciples desert him. The chief priests conspire against him. Pilate condemns him. The mob hate him. Everyone in the story turns their back on Jesus. Just think he's not really that worthwhile. And then you've got this woman who is the example of faith, who says, no, I'll give everything for this person. We don't even know her name. And I think she kind of doesn't mind, because for her, it's not about herself. It's about this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who died and rose again for her. Now, here's the thing. I imagine that in this room, the kind of people who come to a Maundy Thursday thing are kind of the people who've maybe been Christians for a while, who at the very least have been interested in Christianity for a long time. We tend to be, at Maundy Thursdays, the kind of people who, yeah, agree, Jesus is really, really valuable. And maybe we've been walking with Jesus for a long time. And we remember, perhaps when we became Christians, that maybe it was costly and we had to give up, like this woman, a lot to become Christians. Ostracization, difficult conversations with family. Some people give up jobs, careers, they move, relationships. Some people kind of joyfully sacrifice all kinds. And maybe that was you a long, long time ago. But it's very easy, isn't it, in our life to be comfortable. We live in a place where it's relatively free to come to church and worship. We live in a part of the world that is particularly beautiful, especially at this time of year. And it's the faith that we once were burning with zeal for. I don't know. That feels like a different person in some ways. And maybe if we were in this story, we'd be more likely to be amongst Jesus' associates who look at this woman and go, well, that's a bit extravagant. Like, you could have used that money a bit more wisely. How can you give all that you have for Jesus? Come on, that's a little bit. Let's not get carried away. We're British. Which is why I love this time of year. How about you? At this time of year, I just need to be reminded for a whole weekend that if I have Jesus, I already own the most valuable thing that this world can offer me. So right, you, maybe you're like me and you've been stressed this week, and there's lots of things to be stressed about. Stressed about money. I've been stressed a bit about productivity. I don't ever really get anything done. Stressed about health. You know, I'm now in my sort of what I like to call the late 20s. Sort of in the same way we talk about the late Queen Elizabeth. My 20s died of several years ago. I'm now as young as I'll ever be. You think, oh gosh. The number of Premier League footballers who are older than me is very small. There are lots of things to be quite stressed about. And I think I just need to be reminded year on year that Jesus loves me, that he died on the cross for me, that he rose again to give me life, and that there is nothing in this world more valuable than Jesus. And if I have him, I am very, very, very rich indeed.